UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
So I know we're talking football, but just a little bit of history here made today. For the first time since the Open era began in tennis at the U.S. Open, there will not be a number one seeded player in the quarterfinals. I think that's the quarterfinals. I got to see. All I know is that Osaka lost today earlier in straight sets, and unfortunately, Djokovic had to withdraw with an injury. He had to retire, as they say in tennis, in the middle of his last match. So the simple fact of the matter is both of them are out, and that is very, very unusual. As I said, history in the making. Yes, it is. Nobody will make the quarterfinals. They're just in the round of 16. And today, Osaka lost to Belinda Bencic in straight sets, 7-5, 6-4. So she is out. And then also on the, as we said, on the men's side, Djokovic had to retire. So we'll see. Nadal is still alive as the two seed. He'll play later. It certainly is shaping up as a good opportunity for Serena, I think, on the women's side. Right? She's still going strong, isn't she? I think she is. I say that, and I don't even know. I probably should look at the bracket. I'd be a liar if I said I followed it super closely. But I certainly think that she's got a chance, which would be a good thing, I guess. Certainly, last year's final was very controversial for Osaka, that terrible way that ended. But the fact of the matter is she won't have a chance to defend it. Out she goes. So let me go see what the next tomorrow, I guess it is. Yes, Serena plays in the quarterfinals. She's already through the quarters. She'll play tomorrow at 7 o'clock. All right, tonight, obviously, is Louisville and Notre Dame. And we've been talking all day about that matchup. We will cover you right up to kickoff here on all our ESPN signals, and then immediately, or as close to immediately after the game, Mark Ennis will have the post-game show. And
I think he'll be broadcasting from the caboose. I think Andy's broadcasting from the caboose.
Yeah, we could have gone out to the caboose if we wanted to.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
But we're here.
But no, it's okay. There's a lot of moving parts. I like being back at home base.
Sure,
but
sure. Who else didn't like to go on remotes?
Who's that?
Jason Anderson. Oh. For that very reason.
No,
there's too many unforeseen problems, although certainly working at the caboose has been a good thing for us.
It's been a lot of fun, yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, it's good. You need to have a couple bodies back at the mothership. And then a couple of boots on the ground out and about. So
just a couple of quick comments. As I said,
but they're out at Cardinal Stadium.
Yes, thank you. We've been talking about the football and Will for 99% of the show, but there's still life goes on, and it's rather intriguing to me. We talked about history being made, no number one seed in even the quarterfinals for the U.S. Open. And then of all teams, you know, when you don't play in one of those big media markets, this is the truth, there is a certain bias. The Minnesota Twins over the weekend set the record for most home runs in a season. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to – most fans probably can't name three guys on the Twins, as sad as that is, if you're a baseball fan. And that's a baseball fan. I mean, but you just don't imagine that they're hitting home runs at that rate. But I know the game has changed, but that's quite an interesting stat. They're first in their Central. They're 32 games over 500. They're playing and they're beating Detroit right now 2-1. They've hit another home run today. So they are just smacking the pee out of the ball. Single-season home run record, the Twins. The 268th home run over the weekend. 268.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of dingers. So there you go. What when you talk about this game tonight in terms of the football game here locally, I don't think this is particularly profound, but I do think it'll be very accurate. If you take at face value what the coaches were saying, that the number of offensive linemen especially was so low. And again, no knock on the kids quality-wise, but it's just the kind of game where you need bodies. And it sounded like they certainly walked into a situation where they looked at this roster and said, this doesn't make any sense. We got 9,000 receivers, and we only have 6 linemen. For that, the two things that are the most concerning, in my opinion, if you're a Louisville fan, would be that. One, and that's why I say it's not particularly profound. Every coach tells you this. What's going on in the trenches? That's what I want to see at the start of the game. Are they just getting pushed around? Both ways. You got to remember, that's why I was going to say the second part of that equation is defensively. They could be a lot better offensively, but if the defense doesn't show dramatic improvement, it's never going to be enough. I mean, instead of losing 65 to 20, they'll lose 65 to 35, but they'll still give up 65 points. That defense last year was an embarrassment. So those are the two things you look at, and it starts with line play. They gave up 6 yards per rush last year, which is astoundingly poor, a record-setting kind of poor. And the offensive linemen, they don't have a lot of numbers there either. So that's what I'm going to be intrigued by seeing is, will we see them getting pushed around at the start of the game, whether or not the score translates into points or not? Are they able to hold their own, physically match up, not allow themselves to be pushed all around the stadium? And then defensively, when Notre Dame has the football, can Louisville create some three and outs or get some sense of momentum with their defense, which last year was very, very, very porous? There we go. Good choice of words. You know what is not porous? Your wallet. You put money in it, and it tends to stay there. If you want a chance to put more money in your wallet, well, how does a $3.5 million best ball fantasy championship sound to you? Well, that's what they got going on at FanDuel and Draft right now. And I'll tell you at the end of this how you can get into it for free. This $3.5 million real money dollars, that is huge. And how does this work? Well, this is what's really cool about it. Set your roster and forget it. It goes all season, but once you draft and set your roster, it is a set it and forget it league. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. That's what's the cool thing about this. You ever have those weeks where you say, oh, if I'd only played X instead of Y, I'd have won. The computer's going to automatically have played your best roster to get you the maximum possible score every week. Guaranteed. No salary caps. It's a snake draft, just like you're playing your friends in a season-long league where if you got a lying liar like we do in our league, they'll tell you they'll trade with you, and then they don't. That guy gets the first pick, and you'll get the ninth pick. That's how it works. It goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Snake draft. That's what it is. That's
what it is. I got
10th. That's, he would have traded with you, he says.
Really?
Yeah, no, he's a liar. He's a lying liar. That's the worst kind of liar, the lying liar. So, that's how it works. But the beauty of this is you can draft a team anytime you want. There's a league going on right now. There's a leagues that start every couple of minutes. Just do a draft, and who knows? You could be a millionaire 16 weeks later. It doesn't get any easier than that. This is the highest-rated fantasy app out there. It's available on the App Store or Google Play or online at draft.com. And I said you can get in for free. Well, how can you do that? Well, the way you can do it is for a limited time, get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code VSHOW. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code VSHOW when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play free with the promo code VSHOW. Now, I'm surrounded by liars today because Locke said he would trade. And he didn't. Nick said before the Biggest Biscuit left, we would do meat on the bone. And then we let him go. And we never did that either. You told a fib.
No, we were talking about defacing casino equipment. And that was kind of funny. So I just kind of let you go.
Okay. So now we have no meat on any bones?
No, there's still meat on the bone, but we can do that later. Right now we should talk to Mark Story with the Lexington Herald Lee.
Told me we were having a guest.
Said it in your ear twice.
No, you didn't. Never did.
I did.
Never had the headphones in.
I said it at least one time.
Never had the headphones in. So I apologize to Mark Story. Mark, if I'd known you were there with a sense of urgency, I would have come to you sooner. I apologize. How are you?
I sort of enjoyed the digression. So don't sweat it.
Well, if you love digression, we got the show for you. I'll tell you that. Digression is our middle name, often our first name as well. But we're not digressing now. We're talking about Kentucky football and week number one in the books, where they were not great for the whole 60 minutes, but they were very good in spots. And they made, especially in the second half, pretty short work of a team that's regarded as a pretty good team in their league. And, Mark, this is a weekend where we had a whole bunch of rather surprising results, many of which involved SEC teams. So the bottom line is the end result for Kentucky has got to be a very encouraging week one, is it not?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Kentucky started slowly, especially defensively. And when you look at all the personnel they lost, the fact that, you know, they're out there for the first time, you know, in three years, really, without having Josh Allen rushing off the edge, you have a completely brand new, totally revamped secondary, and you're going up against a veteran quarterback in an offense that averaged over 40 points and over 440 yards a game last year. So I don't think it's shocking that they got off to kind of a rugged start, but I do think it was encouraging that as that game went on, the Kentucky defense took hold of it, and part of that was that Mitchell Gudani, the very good Toledo quarterback, got knocked out of the game. But nevertheless, they were slowing them down even before he left. And, you know, the offense, you know, again, you don't have Benny Snell, who was kind of the cornerstone of everything they did last year. You know, I thought Terry Wilson, I was hoping to be wowed, and I probably wasn't wowed, but other than really three bad throws, he was good. I mean, the three bad throws, one of them was really bad, but nevertheless, he was pretty good. I think all in all, you know, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you come out of that encouraged.
Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader with us. This is kind of a way to relate it to the Louisville fans, but I really want to get your thoughts on it. I mean, Louisville obviously is coming off one of the worst seasons they ever had, one of the really worst, some would argue, in college football. I mean, it was so bad, especially defensively, record-settingly bad. And only the most wildly optimistic person, I think, would look at them and say, oh, Notre Dame's a game they're going to win because Notre Dame's coming off a national playoff and is projected to be very good again. But here's how it relates to Kentucky. I think their management styles, not necessarily their playing styles or anything like that, but their management styles strike me as similar. Mark Stoops and Scott Satterfield are guys that are very much, I think, substance over style. They are going to, when he got there, and this is what I was getting to, Mark, last year at this time, and I think you would agree, you know this is true, when we were doing this show, I mean, there was such ambivalence about Kentucky's football by their own fan base. I mean, people were like, you know, it's, you know, maybe we'll go to another minor bowl or something. And that, and yet he built it to the point where now they put together a 10-win season, and they did it very step-by-step, methodically. And I think people who were impatient with Coach Stoops at the beginning now have egg on their face because they saw he was building it the right way. And if Saturday's any indication, they're going to be, you know, a quality program going forward. And I'm wondering if you think is that an accurate assessment of what went on there? Because if that's the case, I think Louisville fans are going to be in the same boat with Satterfield. I think some of them are going to say, oh, you know, if we had Brom, we'd be winning right away. And I don't think that's true. But their management style strikes me as very similar, kind of that block-by-block building process. Is that what you saw out of Stoops? And based on what I'm describing to you, do you think that would apply to the Louisville and Louisville fan base as well?
You know, that's an interesting point. You know, I picked Kentucky before last season to go 8-4. And, you know, Kentucky before last season had not won 8 games in a regular season since 1984. So I made that pick, you know, very conscious that I was making a pick that was going to break the paradigm. And you wouldn't believe how much abuse I took.
Right?
Because
exactly.
the fans were just so, you know, and admittedly, Kentucky's 2017 ended on a really sour note. You know, that Louisville game, Lamar Jackson embarrassed Kentucky at Kroger Field. Kentucky, you know, had, you know, some players whose comportment was not, you know, it wasn't very classy. You know, it left a bad taste. So the fans were upset. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think when you inherit a 2-10 program and get it to 7-5, I think that's pretty good coaching work. But the fans, because, you know, Rich Brooks had it at 7-5 and it sort of plateaued, you know, they're bored with 7-5. I mean, let's admit that. So, yeah, I think the way you describe it is completely right, that people, you know, had gotten impatient. And, you know, the thing that's amazing that, you know, in this day and age is that, you know, Stoops Kentucky was, you know, they let him do it. You know, he went 2-10, 5-7, 5-7, 7-6, 7-6. And, you know, that it's a slow build. And you look at the opposite approach. Look at the kind of the dumpster fire in Knoxville, where they're constantly, you know, firing coaches. And, you know, they've had, you know, all these different chancellors. And I think Philip Fulmer's the fourth AD since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, football especially, I mean, it's a slow build. And, you know, I think the thing that's interesting about Louisville, you know, I see, you know, I think they're in a position where they're going to have to build it back up. And I know that's not shocking, but I hear other people say that they feel like, you know, they had good players and it was just, you know, Petrino, you know, it got dysfunctional in terms of the, you know, the atmosphere within the program. And, you know, he maybe checked out a little bit. So, you know, to me, I think that's the question that, you know, is going to be answered this year. Was it just a coach who, you know, just sort of turned bad, but there was talent, or had the talent, you know, slipped? I think the answer is probably both.
Mm. No, I agree. But I think you hit it on the head. It was the administration gave him time to build it there, and I think they'll give Scott time to build it here. And in some ways, in some regard, you can make a case that, I mean, Satterfield is a proven commodity. I know the critics will say, well, he hasn't won at this level, but he won as a head coach. I mean, Kentucky went on a limb by staying with Coach Stoops, who had just been a coordinator, right? So, I mean, I give them credit for having the patience. I think football is a sport. If you don't give the guy time to build it block by block, you're going to be in Tennessee's shoes. That's what it comes down to.
I think that one of the things that's interesting about the Stoops situation was he had such a huge buyout that part of me wonders if UK didn't do that to almost force themselves to be patient.
That's true.
They put themselves in a position where they really couldn't afford to buy him out, but, you know, it had the happy benefit of they gave him time, and he's, you know, he's built something. You know, he built a really good team last year, and we're going to find out this year, and, you know, at least off 1 week, I think we're going to find out he's building a pretty good program.
To that point, Mark Story's with us from the Lexington Herald Leader. You take a look at the scores that transpired over the first weekend, and there were a lot of games that went according to form. The big favorites took care of business, but there were a lot that were a bit eyebrow-raising, and quite honestly, Mark, a lot of those were in the SEC. I mean, Ole Miss lost at Memphis. Some of these are a lot more surprising than others, but the point is, Ole Miss lost at Memphis. You had North Carolina beat South Carolina, and that's a team that was supposed to be down with Mack Brown. The biggest eyebrow raiser, of course, Georgia State getting paid almost $1 million to go into Tennessee and beat them in Tennessee. And then Vandy obviously played a very good Georgia team, but they got walloped pretty good. And Wyoming takes care of business against Missouri. I mean, that's why I say the Kentucky win is even more significant in that they held serve pretty convincingly in a league that stumbled quite a bit on this opening Saturday.
Yeah, the SEC East, the middle, the quote-unquote middle of the SEC East had a brutal week. And I agree with you. I think it makes, you know, I think Toledo is a good football program. You know, they've had 9 straight winning years. They're 2 years removed from an 11-win season. You know, won the MAC. They're favored to win the MAC West. So, you know, and the fact that they had an experienced quarterback and a really good running back and, you know, coming in against the Kentucky defense where there are questions, at least in the back end of it, you know, I think it was potentially a tough opener. And I agree with you. I think the fact that, especially when you look at what else happened in the SEC East, the fact that Kentucky, you know, not only was able to win the game, but, you know, had it under control in the fourth quarter. There weren't any nervous moments in the fourth quarter. I think that's a pretty positive sign.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The one thing I will say about the SEC, I do think the top of the league, I think Georgia, Alabama, and LSU are darn good.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever weakness there is, it's below the top.
Yeah, but I think the way I look at it, I realize you don't play everybody in the league, so some of these teams are not relevant to Kentucky's particular situation, but some they do, of course, South Carolina and Tennessee. But, I mean, you look at that, if you're going to think, and I do, I think 8 wins is an extraordinary season. I mean, it's 8-4 wins 2/3 of your games. That's the equivalent of, you know, basketball teams winning like 22 games because they all play like 33 now with all these exempt tournaments and everything. That's an extraordinary year. So having said that, if you look at this, I think most people, you go to a bowl game with 6 wins, but I think most people say going to a bowl game with 8 wins is a much greater achievement than a 6-win season. And so you looked at Kentucky's schedule, the naysayers, and said, well, where are they going to get the 8 wins? If you look at the way some of these teams came out of the gate, Mark, it certainly looks like it's, with the non-conference schedule, it certainly looks like it's ripe for the picking to get to 8 again. I mean, again, it's only 1 week. I don't want to jump ahead, but certainly that has to be a little bit of the narrative, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the sample size is small, and the caveat is, you know, Lou Holtz always said you coach a different team every week. So, this, you know, some of these teams that look bad in the opener, they may not be bad by the time they get to Kentucky. But having said all that, if you're a Kentucky fan and you look at what happened week one, I think you are more optimistic that, you know, Kentucky can not only go 7-5, but can, you know, get above that. And if Kentucky was able to get to 8 wins in a season after you lost all they lost in terms of Josh Allen and Benny Snell and the entire secondary, that would be an impressive outcome, in my opinion.
Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thank you, and we'll hopefully catch up again soon. Be well.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Mark Story. We enjoy talking to him. Texter says, are we having a V-Steaks today? Damn right we are. Even though it's football, it's a Monday. You got to do a V-Steaks. It's a party thing, and this is a party time. It's a celebration, the start of college football. We like to give away a prize, so we'll do that. And it's also, I hate to say it, a reminder that summer, at least not officially, there's still summer season, but in most people's mind, after Labor Day, summer winds down. I'm sad about that. I love, love, love summer. To that extent, Saratoga is also a symbol in New York of summer, and this is the end of the racing meet there. So we'll go to the Great Spa for our V-Stakes today, and they're all big money races there. This is a $60,000 event, and it's a mile and a 16th on the turf course, which I gather is a little soggy up there today, so it'll be a little inclement weather. Because of that, there's a whole bunch of scratches. But if you want to get in, here's your chance. Snap Hook is the number one. That's for golfers out there. They'll like that. 6-1 with Tyler Gaffalione as the rider. A Rucksack is the 2 at 8-1. These are jockeys that most of the racing fans around here will know. These are the big names in the business. Luis Saez at 8-1. 3 is scratched. 4 is Dream Zapper. 3-1 with Jose Ortiz. 4 is Lebec. At 7-2 with Dylan Davis. Number 11 is Moji with Manuel Franco at 7-2. And 13 is Super Silver, 2-1, the favorite, with Arad Ortiz Jr. So it's a small field. What was originally a 13-horse field only has 6 horses in it. So a lot of scratches. So we'll need numbers 1, 2, 4, 5, 11 or 13. 1, 2, 4, 5, 11, or 13. Send them to us. Text them to us. We've got a nice prize package for you at 437-9680. Just send it up and send it to us, and we'll give you a chance. They're due to go to post about 8 minutes or so from right now. So check them out, and I'll give you the field one more time real quick in just a bit. Our friends at Universal Windows Direct bring you the program here on the V Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and today on 93.9 The Ville. The great thing about this company is not only the offer that they have in place for these windows. You buy one, you get one free. It's free installation. You can get the windows now and not have to pay until next year. These are all great, great things. The warranty is extraordinary, and the guarantee for as long as you own your home and for 30 years to the next homeowner. All that stuff's really great, but if the windows are no good, you're not going to appreciate it very much. These are fantastic windows. They use aerospace technology called Super Spacer that creates a better seal and a longer lasting seal than a lot of other windows on the market. A lot of those other windows use traditional metal spacers. Well, you know what metal is? It's a conductor, which means you're heating your house in the winter and the energy is literally going out the window. You're cooling your house in summer. Same deal. You don't want to do that. You want it to stay in your home. You're paying for it. You want to use it. You don't want it going out into the roadway in front of your home. Well, with these windows, they make sure that is exactly what happens. And not only that, they look fantastic. Quality built for you and you will find them absolutely gorgeous. It'll have give your house that new home glow, and you'll save a lot of money on your utilities. Buy one, get one free. It is from our friends at Universal Windows Direct. So take advantage of that. Give them a call. Get your free home estimate in place, and you will, like me, be saying, I love my windows. All right, see, that was a good decision to go and play the V-Stakes. Thank you to the texter for reminding us. It's a holiday. It's a very holiday-ish kind of thing to do. We got, as always, a whole bunch of entries. And if you want the field again, and then we'll take our last time out of the hour. So that's what we will do. I will, unfortunately, inadvertently, cut myself off from the website here. So now we got to go redo it all again. It's the fifth race if you're scoring at home at Saratoga. And the Reds not helping the Mets at all. They're letting the Phillies whack them around a little bit. Phillies lead 2-0 against the Redlegs early in that game. Anyway, the race at Saratoga is a mile and a 16th on a soft turf course. It is the fifth race on the card, and here's the field one last time before we go to break. Number one is Snap Hook at 5-1. Number two is Rucksack at 8-1. Number four is Dream Zapper at 7-2. Number five is LeBec at 7-2. Number 11 is Moji at 7-2. And the favorite on the outside, Super Silver, number 13, is 2-1. So it looks like a very competitive race. No horse, I guess with a short field, you shouldn't be surprised at that. No horse, longer odds than 8-1. And the shortest priced is for such a small field at 2-1 gives you an idea that it's a competitive race. So good luck to you in playing our V Stakes. We'll take our last time out, and then we'll get you right to the top of the hour. And we are getting closer to kickoff. The program following ours will start our programming, our broadcasting from the caboose out at the stadium. We're excited about that, of course, as we will be out there for U of L's coverage. Don't forget the Coors Light pre- and post-game shows. Mark Ennis will be out there at 6 p.m. for the official pregame show, and the postgame show follows immediately. I hear from head coach Scott Satterfield, locker room sound, and a lot more. All that as the season gets underway, the new era beginning for Coach Satterfield, and it's a new start to Louisville football. So don't forget that and join them. We are here on all the sticks, all of our sticks, taking you right to kickoff. I said one of the main things that struck me about this, and I do want to make sure we have time to get this commercial break in for the race, but is how disturbing it is that the narrative, and I shouldn't say disturbing, it's the wrong choice of words, it's perfectly logical. When you come off a year like Louisville had last year, and you contrast that with the kind of year Notre Dame had last year, yes, that's been the whole focus of the discussion. It's a new coach. He got here under trying circumstances for the local fan base, who thought they were getting Jeff Brohm, some of them, and they're trying. The fans are trying to get to know Coach Satterfield. As I said, he's made me a big fan in the short time he's been here, the way he goes about his business. So, but all of those things have taken away from the fact Notre Dame is coming to Louisville. Can you imagine, for the longtime fans who remember playing at Old Cardinal Stadium on that rock-hard field, and to get think Notre Dame is coming to play in your building, that was the main focus when, obviously, this program was going great guns. That was the excitement that kind of going toe-to-toe. And they beat them at there, of course. But right now, their narrative, the narrative for both these teams has gone in very different directions. But still, it's quite a special night. Should be a sellout by the time we get to kickoff. We're certainly very, very near to it. And the weather should be a nice night. So it should be an interesting evening, and we'll see how competitive Louisville is coming out of the chute. All right, we're taking our last break, and then we're going to the races. So V-Stakes coming up next on this Football Monday. Happy Labor Day to you on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Perfect timing. They're just loading up. As a texter alerted me, it is so wet up there, they moved it off the turf, which is why the field has been cut by more than half. It's on a sloppy dirt track. Six of them will go to the post. 1, 2, 4, 5, 11, and 13. And they're in the gate. We're about ready for a start at Saratoga. Our V-Stakes on a Labor Day on a very wet Monday in New York. Good luck. And there they go.
They're off. Rucksack right to the front. Super Silver sent along from the outside, and Dream Zapper came out running in third. Moji is fourth to the outside. Then comes LeBec and Snap Hook. They make their way into that first turn here. and it will be Rucksack to set the pace. On top a length and a half, Super Silver. Second on the outside, Dream Zapper will ride the rail around that turn. LeBec is going up on the far outside with Moji, and Snap Hook is the trailer. Onto the backstretch, 24.64, that opening quarter mile for Luis Saez in front running Rucksack. Errat Ortiz keeping Super Silver close. Running along in second, LeBec is third to the outside, and then Moji. And at the rail, it's Dream Zapper, who's three lengths off the lead. The trailer is Snap Hook, five and a half lengths behind front running Rucksack, who continues to lead the way up the backstretch and completes a half in 49.19 seconds. Super Silver, second on the outside, three quarters of a length behind. Then a break of another two back to LeBec, followed by Moji. And then it's Dream Zapper on the inside, and Snap Hook is the trailer with less than a half mile to go. It is Rucksack in front. Super Silver continues to come at him on the outside, second by three and a half lengths. And then it's Moji in third, LeBec is next, and then comes Snap Hook. Dream Zapper is now the trailer as Super Silver confronts Rucksack, and they've got six lengths on the others. Three quarters in one, 13.43, they're into the stretch. And it's Rucksack and Super Silver off the turn, 1-2. Rucksack inside, Super Silver on the outside, seven lengths back to Snap Hook in third. Rucksack keeps on battling. Super Silver just keeps on trying to get by. These two pass the 16th pole together. Rucksack and Super Silver. Rucksack holding on to the lead. Super Silver, a final lunge. Rucksack did it. Super Silver, second best. And then it was Snap Hook and Dream Zapper.
So many of the entries picked the favorite, who was the 13, and he was beaten ahead. Great stretch run. These two distanced themselves from the rest of the field. But Rucksack at 10-1 is your winner. And I don't know if we had anybody even take the two. There's a whole barrel full of people who took 13. Let's see. It's got to be somebody who took the two, didn't we? If not, it'll be a carryover. There's a million entries.
What do we do if no one picks? Do we just give them two gift bags?
No.
Or two random things from your office?
What, next week you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's carryover to next Monday. Absolutely.
So that's two V-Show prize
picks. I'm not kidding. We got a bunch of entries on the 4, a bunch on the 5, a whole barrel full on the 13. One or two came in on the 11, but nobody takes the 10, who was the longest shot in the field at 10-1. But obviously, you know, with such a wet track, you could see the two horses that went to the lead, the horses in the back, got a bit discouraged, getting all the mud kicked in their face for a mile. And down the stretch, they all just said, nah, I've had enough. And let those two go run away. And a good win. Very exciting stretch run, by the way, there. By the way, oh, my goodness, the Reds getting a little break from the Phillies, who just did an Alphonse and Gaston. I don't know if you know what that means. The old I got it, you take it. Routine pop to left by Casale, and the left fielder and the shortstop looked at each other and let it fall between them. They got a run back. This, I know it's football day, but it's worth mentioning. He did it again. There's that man again. Aristides Aquino blasts one into the upper deck in left field, and the Reds trail 2-1. But that dude is a stud. What a player. What a bright spot in a bit of a disappointing year for the Reds. He has given them a certainly some place to hang their hat going forward. Ooh, the Phillies pitcher trying to be professional and not show how disgusted he is, the fact that the two fielders on his team just turned into a little league team. So, no, I got no winner. I've scrolled through 3 pages of text, and I haven't seen a 2.
Really? No one picked a 2. All right, we'll carry over to next week.
Yeah, so very good. So thanks, everybody.
2 V-Show prize packs.
Can't beat that. And maybe the bobbleheads will get real active in your house, too. Just after the dinner. Going to be
That's
an interesting story for tonight's game, of course, and how competitive Louisville will be. Obviously, if they win it, you'll have one of those shocking early season results. We had a bunch of interesting ones over the weekend. That is the one knock I've always had about college football, is that it always usually it seems so predictable in the early season. The big favorites usually at least take care of business, if not out dominate, and we did not see that over the weekend. So, you know, if you're looking for reason for hope, that's the case here as Notre Dame comes in as a decided favorite. What did we say it was the last time we looked? 18.5 is the number, correct?
I did the Sports Center. It was 18. But no, you looked at ESPN and it was 18.5. Yeah. The one process, where'd you get your number from for the line? Was that Bovada? All right. process is pulling it up. But it started at 18.5, I think, today. Then Locke told me it went up to 19. And then
it was at 19. When I came in this morning, it was 19, and then it's back down to 18.5 now. So that means some money is going on, obviously, on Louisville. But
FanDuel.
We'll see. You got FanDuel. Has it at what?
FanDuel has it at what currently?
-18.
Right,
it's still at 18.
So if you're a Notre Dame, if you're a Louisville guy, you can go to wherever ESPN has it listed and get that extra half a point because it's 18.5 there. ESPN.com wrote this about the last time when they played Notre Dame back in 2017. Lamar Jackson, I'm reading directly from the text here just to give you an idea. Lamar Jackson, the lightning-quick Heisman winner was Vic, a nod to former Virginia Tech great Michael Vick, perhaps the only real comparison for Jackson's scrambling wizardry. Juwan Pass, the Cardinals' 6'4" heir apparent, with a tantalizing blend of arm strength and athleticism, was Cam, in honor of Cam Newton, who used a similar skill set to win a national championship at Auburn. It was a mutual love fest, a reminder that, yes, they're different players, but they're both capable of something spectacular. And that's the end of that. That's from the 2017, right? Then the writer says, passed through for 8 touchdowns and 12 interceptions last season against Notre Dame tonight. He'll probably look more like the kid from the Play 60 commercial than any version of Cam Newton. And that is the storyline here. I'm not predicting that. I'm merely reading what he wrote. I'm not saying it to say as vindication because that's what I'm predicting. I'm not predicting it at all. But I'm saying make no mistake about it, in most people's minds, or I'll say in my mind, I don't want to speak for anybody else, after seeing what happens in the trenches, after seeing are they just getting pushed around and physically overwhelmed by Notre Dame? With much has been made of the lack of depth on the offensive line for Louisville, all of that. And if that's the case, there's very little that you're going to be able to do about that. If that defense is not better than the defense that gave up 6 yards a rush last year, all of those things, that you're going to tell, and you're going to be looking for signs about that in the first quarter. The second thing you're going to be looking at is what kind of quarterback do they really have in Juwan Pass? There was a great discussion about how much his confidence took a battering last year. Some guys don't respond to a screamer, a guy who's on them all the time, and that certainly was Bobby's coaching style. I don't think Satterfield even remotely resembles that kind of approach, but that doesn't mean automatically it's going to translate right away. You certainly hope so as a fan, but confidence comes, I've said this on the show so many times, from two things. One thing, really, successful performance under pressure. That's the second part of it, though. Successful performance in practice can be great, but it's really got to be successful performance under pressure in a real game situation. And that's a tall order to say to a guy, get your confidence back against Notre Dame. But you never know. If he plays well, it could do a whole springboard for going forward for his confidence, because this is a quality team. But he's got a lot of healing to do to start playing as a dominant player. So it's going to be very interesting to see just what kind of quarterback play they get. The three storylines, if you wanted to, you know, because people always like to do things in three. I said the two main ones, in my opinion, are those two I just said, because everybody wants to see what kind of quarterback play they're getting, and are the lines going to just be pushed around out there. But to me, the other storyline is the defense in general, not just the line play where they're just not allowing the ball to be run down their throats, but can they get off the damn field? I mean, the defense last year was so poor it was arguably historically poor, part of a very, very poor season. And so to me, those are the three things you're going to look at. The other stuff will be interesting. They supposedly have a good kicking game, kicker and punter and their special teams. But if they get absolutely dominated at the line of scrimmage, if the quarterback doesn't show an increase in
adequacy?
That's what I was going to use that word, but then I realized it set the bar low. You don't just want a guy who's adequate. He's got to show that he's got some competence.
That's actually a step up from adequate.
Yeah, it is. It's showing some competency of mastering it's a new offense, and you know, playing at a level of competence that can then in turn build his confidence. That's the second thing. And then can the defense play at remotely a successful college level? Those are the three things I'm going to look at, whether they miraculously win the game, whether they play a you know, really encouraging close game, or frankly, even if the margin is not that close. And those are things, you know, Biscuit was with us. That's a great point. The game within the game is what you're looking at. And that's what I would focus on. I know fans don't want to hear that. They think it's some sort of sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness. I think you have every right with the commitment and the facilities and everything else to expect really, really good football teams. But I think you also, it's like getting mad at gravity. You can get mad, but it's the reality. The reality is that, Squirrels, there's a problem with trying to take a city like that's been bombed out after the war and then immediately make it feel like it's a tourist attraction the next day. You're going to take time. And I think that's what you're looking at here. And that's just the reality of it. All right, New York Mike wants to weigh in. Is it a pick, Mike? What are you doing here? You just want to say hello, or are you going to make a pick about the game?
I just wanted to, last time I talked to you was last Wednesday, and I gave you the last preseason game. You said we had 2.5 with the Raiders that Thursday, and they lost by 2. So it's been a very successful preseason for me and you.
Really has. All right, that's very good. Yeah, you're on a roll. That's like, what, 19 out of 20 or something?
15 out of 16.
15 out
Bob.
Of 16. Yeah, that's.
Now, here's what I'm going to do today. No jokes, no funny business. I'm taking UofL plus the 18.5. And then on the other side of my wallet, I'm going to take them without it. It's going to be money on both sides.
You're going to take. You're taking Louisville straight up?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Wow, you win that.
You know why? Because you listen to Satterfield, and he's correct when he says Notre Dame has some big guys. And you know what they say about big guys? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. You're going to see it tonight.
Well, if you do, you'll be a wealthy man, because I'm looking at the college money line for Louisville is, let's see if I can find it here. I'm on Bovada, by the way, if you're wondering. Note, Louisville is plus 775. Yowza.
I didn't get that from anybody here, trust me.
Go to Bovada. You can get it there. So that's a remark. And by the way, Bovada, the spread, 20 now. 20.
Wow.
Hey, Bob, can I tell you one trivia or something?
Sure.
Okay. You know William Tell, right?
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
He shot an apple off his son's head.
Yeah, he was nuts.
And I wonder, do you know what his son's name was?
Lucky, I hope.
No, stupid.
same church,
all
different
right,
pew.
I like to hear you laugh, Bob. I'm going to end it with here, and mark my words, what happens tonight's going to happen.
All right, fair enough. Good enough. That's like wherever you go, there you are. So that's it. Boy, that's Bovada. Notre Dame laying 20. And the over-under, by the way, is 56. So, that's interesting. More money is going on the under than the over, though. The under is minus 115. The over is 105. So most people think it's going to be under 56 and 20 points. Now I understand why they make such a big deal about the hook. Seriously. I mean, you know, if Louisville's able to get two touchdowns, they get 14 points. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because so what? Louisville to Notre Dame to cover would have to score 35. Last year they gave up 35 like a drop of a hat. The defense has got to be better, though. That, as crazy as it sounds, that's the one play. Maybe it's just stupid because it's a basketball analogy and it probably doesn't apply as much in football. But I always quote that Vince Lombardi line about he thought it was harder to teach, maybe because he was an offensive coach, but he always said it's easier to teach defense than offense, because defense plays more off your instinct. He said the analogy he used to use back a long time ago is you see a guy leaving your apartment with your color TV in his arms, your instinct is to run and tackle him. He said your instinct not in football is to back up and try and keep the guy in front of you from running around you to get the guy behind you. That's not your first instinct. So I understand what he means. So, and why does that translate? Because if this is supposed to be a better culture, they're supposed to be all fired up. If that's the case, that usually translates to defense. Offense has got to be more about timing and execution, and defense, I mean, You know, the perfect example is the play he showed his team in week zero where the kid from Hawaii ran down the kid. That's not technique. That's a kid that's just all fired up, that he chases the quarterback down. He overruns him on the initial rush back at the 40-yard line, and then the interior, well, I don't know if he's the interior lineman or was the linebacker, but whoever he was, runs him down for 40 yards and just in a dead sprint. And while he's zigzagging, he's able to overtake him right before the goal line and quite literally save the game. That's not technique. That's just effort. That's just so. That's what Louisville's got to get tonight. They got to dig down, say it's a new year, and find that new effort and get that defense off the field. And maybe it'll translate into some results early. We will see. We got you right up till kickoff here on the ESPN family of networks. Andy's next, coming to you with the take, and Mark Ennis will be doing the pre and the post game show as well. And we'll be here to talk all about it, whatever the result is, with you tomorrow, unless you know something I don't. And we'll follow the lying liar tomorrow here on ESPN 680-1057.
With UPS, Future You graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.